And so we can get here on time. I mean, they tore it down, didn't they? Yeah, that's all right. That's all right. We still going to worship the Lord. It's just good to be here. Good to see everybody. Well, you look so good. You look good. Look like you're ready to worship the Lord this morning. I'm just going to dive right into my lesson this morning. Those that are visiting, we'll acknowledge our visitors at the end of our worship service. Those that's watching this morning by way of live stream, good morning to you. And we wish you could be here this morning. We know many who watch by way of live stream are members here, just not able to be here. And so be thankful when you can be here. Amen. Yeah, live stream is good, but it's not like being here. This morning, the lesson title is God Pleasing Faith. God Pleasing Faith. Very important topic. I spoke at the state lectureship a few weeks ago, and they gave me the topic of faith. And you know, this is one that you can't miss this. It's so important. The scripture even says it's impossible to please God. I mean, if you can't understand, see that biblical interpretation is you can't miss it, because it says if we don't have the proper kind of faith, we can't please God. And if we can't please God, don't worry about being with him when we die. Amen. So this is one. Now, you know, this time of the year, I try to do foundational lessons, and this is one of them. There are different degrees of faith in the scripture. On three or four different occasions, Jesus, I know in Matthew 6, Matthew 8, Matthew 16, Jesus used the phrase, "O ye of little faith." And so we can have different degrees of faith, and we all are trying to grow to have strong faith, aren't we? But I, you know what I thank God? I thank God. And see, the first time Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith," his own disciples were on the boat with him. And Jesus had just fed 5,000. He just performed all these miracles. They get on the boat. It's a storm. And they say, "Oh, master, care you not? Care you not for us? Aren't you going to save us, Lord? Don't you care you not for your own disciples?" And Jesus just shook him up and woke him up and said, they were all in a panic, and they had the creator of the world in the boat with them. And Jesus uttered the words, "O ye of little faith." Yeah, some of us, I know, tell you what, sometimes I know he says it probably to me, because sometimes we have these pity parties and we feel like, woe is me, I'm the only one going through something, and Lord, or why do I have to go through, or Lord, what's happening, what's going on? And I know Jesus probably look at me and say, Gary, how many times am I going to have to rescue you before you see that I'm still here? Amen. And so all of us need this. All of us need this. I thank God, though. I thank God that Jesus, he said that phrase to his disciples, but he kept working with them. He didn't give up on them. Thank the Lord. And I hope he don't give up on us before it's too late. Now listen to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Everybody's all right. Hebrews chapter 11. I love, you know, some days you feel happier than others. You know, when you're happy, you better be happy. Because we know what's around the corner, though. This is life. This life we're living in. So when you be happy, go on, smile. Get a good belly laugh every now and then. That's good for your health. Yes, it is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the scripture says. You've heard this scripture over and over again. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's what the scripture says. See, faith and hope are intertwined. See, it says faith is a substance. It's the foundation of things hoped for. Faith and hope are intertwined because they look to something in the future. Both of them that has not been attained yet, or that is not, definitely has not been seen with the naked eye. And so faith, it says, it's the substance of things hoped for, the foundation of things hoped for, and faith is the evidence of things not seen. Let's see if we can get a little better definition. We can understand. See, faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of those things that cannot be discerned by the eye of the body. And so faith makes things real that we can't see or haven't experienced yet. See, simply put, faith demonstrates that we see the invisible. And sometimes that can be tough when we can't just put our hands on it, when it's not as tangible as we would like it to be. But the scripture still says that without it, it's impossible. See, you know, we have the word of God. We have the scriptures, and they give us evidence of God. But sometimes it seems like the scriptures is not enough for some folk. And we have this God. God gives us, he gives us much evidence, but we got to see it for ourselves. Amen. Yeah, see, and there's some individuals that they want to see more and more and more, and God's already given us enough. He has. You know, we have to keep studying the scriptures. I was thinking about, I think I've told the church about one of my professors when I was in college. I took a class, it was an elective class, the history of recorded music, and he just made some statements that I just didn't understand at the time. I mean, he was a very smart man. He knew everything about music, a little short man. And he said, made some statements. He says, now, he says, since the industry is changing, it's changed. You won't recognize it in a few years. This was 1979 that I took his class. So that's how many years ago? That's a bunch of years ago. Yeah. Some of our kids wasn't born. And he, you know, he brought in class. He brought in class, and he had an album. This is an album. Some of you youngsters, this is an album. You know, let me let you see one. Yeah, that's an album. Yeah. These old folks in here getting happy. Y'all sit down, old folks. Yeah. See, they don't even. Very few people have something to even play this on now. Yeah, and he brought the album. I went off and left my 45, but he brought a 45. See, the kids don't know what a 45. That's not a gun. Yeah, he brought a 45 in here, and he said, it's gonna be obsolete. He said obsolete. He named the years. I can't remember. I don't want to tell a lie. And he named the years. This albums will not be played in the not too distant future. Then guess what else he brought in? He brought in one of these. These youngsters sure don't know what this is. This is called an 8-track. You ride in your car, you put it in your car, and you be jamming. Yes, sir. 8-track. It's, by the way, this is Earth, Wind, and Fire. And I want this to be here when I get through. Yeah. He bought an 8-track in. He said this will be obsolete. Now I went off and forgot. Also, he said, these are going to be replaced with cassettes, a cassette tape. And I bring it for the 11 o'clock service because I went off and left my, but he brought a cassette. Cassette is smaller, and it has a little tape in it, and you put it in the young people don't know what that is. Yeah, about a cassette tape. And he said, they're going to be replaced. There's going to be something called a compact disc. Compact disc is a smaller version of an album. A compact disc. This was in 1979. We had never seen a compact disc. And he also stated that will be replaced with a micro, the little smaller disc. He said that's going to be replaced. And you know, of course, we were listening, and I was listening, and I'm like, what is he talking about? See, faith, whether you are, the kind of faith God wants He wants, see, faith is undeniable trust. It's unwavering trust. Faith is not indifference. See, at the time, he said it. I didn't believe him. I didn't know whether to believe him or not. I was indifferent about it. The kind of faith that pleases God is not indifferent. And you know what? The kind of faith in God, that just because we don't believe something, just because our faith is unwavering, doesn't make whatever the truth is not the truth. And I'm telling you, after these things started happening, the cassette, I just remembered sitting in that class, and I just wanted to know, how does he know all of this? How did he know all of this? Yes, and faith, the kind of faith God wants is an undeniable faith. And see, we have to, in our minds, believe what God has told us. Do you know who the financial analysts, you know who they say will be the most profitable investors? They say the most profitable investors are those who see in the future what others do not see. And I thought about that for a second. Yes, that's kind of, you see, if we would have put $1,000 into Amazon stock in 1997, just $1,000, nothing more, the $1,000 today would be worth $1.6 million. Today, we didn't do it, did we? Now maybe somebody was smart enough to do it. Well, we didn't do it because we didn't have the information, or we wasn't exposed to it. We didn't do it because we really didn't know about it. And certainly, even if somebody would have told about it. See, the kind of faith God wants is not only for us to believe it, but to act on that belief. Oh my goodness. And so when you look at the scriptures, and I reading through Hebrews chapter 11, God gives us one of the main ways for us to obtain this kind of faith. Let's read the text again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then he goes on to say, verse 2, for by it, by faith, the elders, it's not talking about the elders of the church, it's talking about the ancient ones. And he gives this list, this litany of lists, over 16 individuals that he names in the book of Hebrews, and he can't give you all the details about them. He says, for by it, the elders obtained a good report. He said, we can know about faith. All we need to do is look at those who've gone on before us to learn by them, by the ancient ones. And he goes on this list, and I wish I had time to read them all. I just picked out a few of them. In Hebrews 11, in verse 4, he says, it was by faith that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It's the only difference between Cain and Abel was faith. And you know what? I looked at this and I did some research and I read some commentaries. You know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, no, what did Abel have that Cain didn't have? You know, they both had the same parents. They both raised by the same parents. Sometimes we look in our homes and we have kids in our home. We have two kids. We have three kids. We have four kids. And some of them hear the same thing. You tell them the same. You make up your bed. You do your thing. You do what you're supposed to do. You tell all of them the same thing, but all of them come out different. Some of them, you trying to raise some of them in the Lord, raise someone to know God. You praying at the table. You trying to instruct them right. One of them love the Lord, and one of them love the devil. And I've gotten to the point now as a preacher. Sometimes I scratch my head, trying to figure what went wrong. You know, now I'm not doing as much of that as I used to do, because I know it seems like people are gonna do what they want to do. Kids, you can love. And some of us in here, and we have these long guilt trips. What did I do? Where did it go wrong? And we're trying to psychoanalyze. And we go talk to folks. Sometimes you can do everything right, and Cain still killed Abel. And the scripture tells us the difference was Abel, whatever God told them, the kind of sacrifice that God wanted, he told them both the same thing, and they received it different ways. So the difference was faith. Yeah, the difference is Abel believed, hung on every word of God. And he believed just what he said, and he did just what God wanted. Abel saw something that Cain didn't see. Yeah, yeah. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God. Notice this. Of the things not seen as yet. And that had to be something else. Because, you know, most scholars would say, would agree, would say, listen, during this time, it probably had never rained before. God tells Noah, listen, Noah, you go out and build an ark. And he gave him all the details and all the dimensions. And so you build it just like this. Don't you change nothing. Do it like I say do it. Noah, I don't know if he wrote all the instructions down, but he remembered them to the T. And he did it just like God told him to do. Why? Because Noah believed with all of his heart. Everything that God said, and Noah did just what God told him to do. Lord have mercy. That's some faith. Yeah, that's some faith. Yeah, I was looking. They tell me in Wilmington, Kentucky, there is a group of gentlemen who spearheaded recreating the ark. And they say you can go on the website and look up the Ark Encounter. It's in Wilmington, Kentucky, and I haven't been to Kentucky often. I don't know if I've ever been, but I just want to see it. I just want to see it. Notice this. I just want to see it with my eyes. But you know what? My faith has grown enough that I really don't have to see it. I certainly believe that God instructed Noah, and Noah did just what he said, and it was thousands of years ago. And though we don't see it, do we see it? Yeah. You think about it. It takes faith to live, because there are many things that we can't see with our naked eye. I mean, with our naked eye, there are many things we can't see. For instance, radio waves. You can't see radio waves. This is a radio. There are no people in here singing or talking, is there? So, I do. Pray for me, church. I broke my glasses. Just when I was getting used to them. Can y'all hear that back there?
Or shop online at theautoparts.com. Remember, LEVAN, if you need it, Lee Van Haskell.
Where's that sound coming from? There are no people in there. You know, they say there's something called radio waves. And some smart individual found a way to create sound through connecting through radio waves, which nobody still hadn't seen with the naked eye. Believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah. You take oxygen. You can't see it. You can't see it. Question, do you believe we have oxygen in here this morning? I tell you what, let's take some bubble wrap and bubble wrap this whole building all the way down to the bottom and seal it to the ground and just sit here for a little while. If you don't believe that's some oxygen, after a while, after we start sucking all the oxygen out of here, you'll be a believer then. Yeah, there are a lot of things we can't see. We can't see ultraviolet light. But if you go to the beach and you sit on the beach long enough on a nice sunny day And even some of y'all in here that's chocolate, you'll be chocolater. And you won't even see what's going on, because there are ultraviolet rays, lights that come from the sun that we can't see. But just because you don't believe it, don't believe, don't mean it's not there. You take our minds, we have thoughts in our minds that you can't even see. Oh, praise the Lord. God is awesome. See, some of us are thinking things right now. Some of you saying, Brother Gary, hurry up and get through before 9 o'clock. I don't know what you're thinking. So we have imaginative thoughts. We think of things. We can close our eyes and things are going on that we cannot see. When I say, don't get hung up on things we can't see. Yeah, because they can be believed. So many things you take on earth. There is a law that says what goes up must come down. Yeah, that's the law of, guess I better do this on both sides. What goes up must come down. That's the law of what? That's the law of gravity. That's in Earth's atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah, the astronauts, scientists, they recognize this gravity is Earth's atmosphere. That's why the astronauts, when they travel out of space and they get out of our atmosphere, they have to be connected to something. They have to be connected to a tether. When they land on Earth, they have to have heavy boots to keep them on the ground. Because if they don't have it, they'll float away. And that's the law of gravity. You can believe it if you want. Yeah, if you don't believe it, just go to a high skyscraper and step off a building. On the way down, you'll be saying, I believe. Yeah. Yeah, so don't get hung up on things we cannot see. See, the most important aspect of having this God, having faith, is the object of our faith. Is who is making the claim? Can the object deliver the promise of something not yet seen or experienced? That's the most important aspect of who we put our faith. Because some of us, most of us, all of us put our faith in something. Somebody. And sometimes we put our faith in the wrong things. The things that can't deliver. The things that, and sometimes we get caught up on the creature, not the creator. Because I got to admit, there are some smart people in this world. There are some folks that just boggle my mind with what they can do with their bodies, with their talents, with their minds, with their inventions and things that they, there are individuals who make claims sometimes and they sound like they're true. Yeah. Joseph Smith made one in 1835. He predicted that the world would end in 56 years. Let's see. 1835 plus 56 is what? Somebody help me with that. 1835 plus 56 is 18 what? Come on, help me, man. 18 what? 1891. Well, we still here. But he didn't have that one right, did he? See, if you put your faith in Joseph Smith, you say, well, hey, listen, some people start going to the grocery store, buying up everything, stockpiling everything. Pat Robertson in 1982 made the same claim that the world was going to end. Nostradamus in August of 1999, the world is going to end. You remember Y2K when in year 2000, everybody said, now the computer is going to end the world. Well, we still here, amen, somebody. And the Bible already told us no man knows when the world will end. The scripture said, not even the angels know. Only the Father, only God, God knows. I got a question for everybody in here. Do you believe? Yeah. I'm telling you what, I'm just going to put my trust in God. Yeah, no man. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. And this is challenging because we live in an age now. When I was young, you know, folk didn't question. Even when they questioned, you didn't hear it that much. The first Bible verse we learned is Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and everything. You grow up as a little child. You teach your children, say, Mama, who made the sun? We said, God made it, baby. Who made the moon? God made the moon. And some smart child said, God, my daddy, who made the world? God made it, baby. But you know what I know, right? That in the world we live in right now, these young folk, boy, they don't believe that. Many of them don't believe that. Or if they halfway believe it, they question it. They have all of these questions and ask, well, if God did, how do you know? We haven't seen God. And this scripture says this, it goes on to say, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed, notice, by the word of God. And that's hard for a lot of people to believe. And they'll say, well, there was a big bang and that don't even make sense. Doesn't make sense to you? That was a big bang, and everything, the sun fell in the right place, the moon fell in the right place, the stars fell in the right place, and everything fell in the right place, and all the animals, and all the plants, from a bang. Let you think about that one. And the scripture said it was the word of God, so that the things which are seen were made of things which do appear. Excuse me. The things which were seen were not made of things which do appear. And so none of us have seen God with our own eyes. And we just testified there are many things that we have not seen with our own eyes. See, but we see the work of God. This wonderful pulpit up here that's solid as a rock and its sound has been sitting here every Sunday. We see it every single Sunday. You haven't seen the one who made it, but you know somebody. Amen. Yeah. Do you have to see it? Do you want us to bring the person in here who made this so you can believe that it's made by somebody? If you want that, you want too much. Yeah. So, you know, just sometimes we have to use what God has given us. Who else would even have the audacity to make such a claim that I am the creator of the world? Men are smart, but they're smart enough to not to even say that unless there's something wrong with them. And you know what? It takes faith not to believe. Yeah, it takes not faith not to believe. You don't believe in God, who you haven't seen, but you believe in whatever you believe in. The folks that said that was a Big Bang theory, you didn't see that. Just created that in your mind. The theory of evolution, you didn't see that. So it takes faith to believe in what you believe in, and you haven't seen what you've seen. Amen, somebody? Yeah, so see, I tell you what, it makes biblical sense, it makes common sense that somebody smarter than all of us put all of this together. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and the ancient ones recognized that. Many of them recognized that and then questioned God about it. Listen to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8 as I try to bring this to a close. He says, by faith Abraham, when he was called up to go out into a place. And this is those of you that know your Bible, this is Genesis chapter 12, when God called Abraham and said, go to a country which I will show you, and Abraham went. It says, for by faith Abraham, which when he was called up to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, Abraham obeyed, and he went out. Notice this, not knowing whether he went. He didn't see it. He didn't know where he was going, but I tell you what, he knew who was talking. He knew who was asked, who was commanding him to go. And he didn't question God. He just did. He just did what God said to do. Yeah. And see, now we, even in our day, notice this, in our day, it should be easier for us to have faith. Because see, in Abraham's day, in Noah's day, they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have all these examples. They didn't have the reading of all of the ancient ones before them, because God was talking to them. They didn't have what we have. Goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense. He had respect unto the recompense. The recompense would be the compensation. He had the respect to the compensation of the reward. You know, Noah hadn't even received a reward from God. He was already in prosperity, but he counted the reward of God more worthy of the reward than any man could give him. It says this in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. By faith, it was faith. He knew he was a Hebrew. He knew God's law. He says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as, notice, listen to this, as seeing him who is invisible. See, our faith has to make reality God. His laws, his truth, his word, it has to be real with us. We have to have unwavering belief that God's word is true. Moses goes on, the Bible goes on to say, through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. And Moses had this unwavering faith. Lord, Lord, does anybody need to say as I need to say, Lord, increase my faith? Yeah. Help me to believe that you're going to make all the evil people in this world pay one day. You see, because sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying that for us to be happy, for us to wish bad on anybody, because God is still God and God is long-suffering. Even the people that you hate, God loves. That's why he's God. That's why you're not God. Thank the Lord, we not God. Because even some people in the church right now, if we were God, we probably would have wiped them on out already. But God is God. And can we say God is good? And God is faithful. The scripture said he reigns on the just. He reigns on the just and the unjust. That's just good. Because I know some people, sometimes I hear things and some people say, and I know they're not here this morning. But sometimes I say, don't tell me everything. I have some information I don't need to know, because it just mess up your day. Yeah, you hear some, Brother Gary, you know somebody said, don't tell me that. I heard somebody said, you know, Brother Gary, somebody else, don't tell me, because see, I'm human. And I see them coming and I start looking cross-eyed at them. Yeah. But we serve a good God. And God is faithful. He's faithful. He's loving. But one day God is going to fix everything. He's going to fix everything. Yeah, some of us, our home situation is not what we would have it to be. If we just told the truth about it, we wish things were different. But I tell you what, you serve a faithful God. Amen. Amen. God sees and knows all. And so our ultimate faith needs to be in God and his word and his promises, not a man, not a woman. Yeah. And see, but sometimes life makes us doubt. It does make us doubt. It reminds me of Thomas when Jesus had come back from resurrection and he appeared to the at the time it would be he appeared to the 10 apostles because one had hung himself and they had not selected the other yet. And Jesus appeared to them in the house, and Thomas wasn't there. And then Thomas comes along and they said, Jesus is risen. He's risen. And Thomas, he didn't believe him. He didn't believe him. And Thomas said, I need to see him. I need to put my hand. I need to know. I don't believe what y'all are saying. Some of us are like that. You know, there's some, it seems like it requires you have to show me, brother. You have to show me. And I tell you what, if you're here today, if you're in this lifetime, if the word don't convict you, you won't be convicted. Amen, somebody? Now, God can't wrestle with us. God can send us through some things that'll bring us to our knees that we look for God. But Jesus said this to Thomas in John 20 and verse 27. He says, then said he to Thomas, Jesus said this to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. He said, touch my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side. Now, I was reading this and I've read it several times and I tried to put myself in his place because just the fact that Jesus is talking to me now, and I didn't say all of these words, but I don't believe him. I need to see him. Just the fact Jesus appears out of nowhere, and he started. I would have already been hypnotized. I've already been shocked to death. At that time, because you know, it's like you know, he already this is Jesus. Notice, but Jesus wanted to hammer it home. He wanted to make sure, because now he knows he's about to leave. He knows they're going to be in the world. And he says, Thomas, give me your hand. And it's like God sometimes he works with some of us the same way, because I don't know. There are different levels of faith. Some of us have strong faith. Some of us, it doesn't take all of that, because we just say, you know what? God is good. I'm studying his word. I believe his word. I'm going to serve him. But everybody not like that. You know we not. Some of you just used to be just as hard-headed. Some of you, it took 100 Bible classes to get you to come to church. But I tell you what, it has to come up to a point when for us to have God-pleasing faith, it has to come to a point in our lives that we say, I have no doubt. And I don't know if God going to have to send somebody. Maybe everybody in here, you believers. Maybe it's somebody on television. What is God going to have to do to help you to believe? Yeah. Do you need to be in the hospital? Do you need to go to the doctor? The doctor say, no, yes, you have cancer. Yes, you have 2 weeks. Yes, you have 3 months. Is that what it's going to take? Jesus says, give me your hand, Thomas. And now at that point, I'm sure Thomas already believed, but he said, Jesus, Thomas, give me your hand. Put it in my side. Feel my wounds. They are real. You didn't see me before, but just because you didn't see me still don't mean I'm still not alive. See, listen, whether we have faith or not does not negate the fact that God is still God. Amen, somebody. Yeah, and he said, thrust it in my side. Hey, then he goes on to say this as he says it to us. And be not faithless. And some of us need that this morning. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I have a heart. You know, I used to be a youth minister. And I love people. I love everybody. But I have a heart for these young people. I have a heart because I see what's being shot their waves in all of these choices and all of these things and all of these beliefs and all of these teaching. But the scripture says there is but one God. There is one body. There is one spirit. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, there is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one faith system whereby we are to be saved. There is one baptism. That's not all of this stuff that's going on. Yeah, and Thomas, he put his hand into Jesus' side. And he said to them in verse 29 of John chapter 20, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, with your naked eyes, thou hast believed. Then he reaches to the centuries to come. And he reaches even to the 21st century in which we're living in right now. And he said, blessed are they that have not seen. And that would be us. Because none of us have seen Jesus with our naked eyes. And he says, and yet have believed. Do we believe? Do we have this unwavering faith that Jesus is who he said he is? Do we believe and have unwavering faith that God is who God says he is? Do we believe with all our hearts? Because see, that is one of the prerequisites to be in Christ. He says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. He that comes to God must believe that he is. Notice this, not only that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, I told you about the investments and you know, I thought about that because you see now, you have those, you see, the most profitable investors are those who see ahead of time. Because see, when you see it, when everybody else see it, then you're not going to make no money because everybody's investing in it. You got that? I mentioned a few weeks ago, one of the things that's going to happen, well, I'm saying it by faith because it hadn't already happened. And you don't have to believe me if you don't want to believe me. One of the things that's going to happen is those phones you have is, now I have a, oh, excuse me. I have a iPhone 11 Pro. Isn't that something? I just replaced my phone because it was broke. And I didn't know I was getting something special. I had one of these, and one of the kids saw it. Brigham, you got a Pro? I said, yeah. I mean, you know, it dials, it texts, and it answers, and it's iPhone 11 Pro. But do you know, and probably before this year's out, you've seen the 5G commercials, and you see, I think, T-Mobile is advertising 5G. 5G, the 5G technology is supposed to be 100 times faster than, at least 100 times faster than these phones, and it will do so much more with medicine and other devices, internet, communications, all kinds of things. It's going to do so much. So they're saying before the end of the year, over 300 million phones will be replaced. And that little flip phone you have, it's going to be like those albums I got back there. Amen. And you know, it's strange when you hear things you haven't heard before. The first thing we do is question. You don't know what you're talking about. And maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't believe me. But I'm just not saying this off the top of my head. In two years, do you remember beepers? And pages. Remember pages, beepers? I remember, this is the truth. This is God honest truth. I remember, and you know, I've been in different businesses. I remember when the pages, they were being dismissed. And this guy, he said, man, I got this good deal. He was able to get, I mean, literally thousands of pages. He got them at a real cheap price. But I told him, man, they say pages going to be out. The people not going to want pages. No, man, I'm going to sell them all. And he spent all his money buying these pages. And guess what? He still got them. What are you saying? Listen, you can't see God with your naked eye. Oh, but you see all of his works. Oh, how in the world can you deny? Just look up and just, I tell you what, just stand in the sun and let him just fry you all day long. Yeah. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. And see, now, I'm just talking about faith. Now, see, the scripture says faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Now that you know God is, he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The question is, as it was with Cain and Abel, Are you willing to obey him? Because his word is explicit on even how he wants us to come to him. He says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he preached the first gospel sermon, they asked the question, what shall we do? Peter didn't tell them what he felt like they needed to do. He told them what God told him to tell us. And he said, repent, turn from sin. And be baptized everywhere. That's why we keep this water warm. This is the most important element. This is the most important decision that you will make in your life, is to be in Christ Jesus. Because that is the only place our protection is. And if you have not done that, you don't believe God. And I hope that you would make the decision to come to Christ even today. And confess his name. It's the sweetest name. Jesus' name is the sweetest name you can ever confess in all of your life. And he even said, whosoever believes him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin. And I'm telling you, that pleases God when we surrender to him. You need to come. Come right now as we stand. Sing the song of invitation.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation? Oh, prepare to meet thy God. Careless soul, thy warning.